You're listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Here's the thing. You're busy. You're a professional. Maybe you're a pharmacist, and you know you're capable of doing more, doing much more, and living a more organized, less stressful, purposeful, and freedom-driven life. Let's talk, let's share, and let's grow together as an industry, as healthcare providers, and as a better unified community. It may seem like some of these things don't easily fit together. After all, what do career coaching, marketing strategy, networking, and pharmacy have in common? Welcome to the RX Buzz. Your host is a pharmacist, a wife, a mother, an entrepreneur, and a proven motivational career coach, Ashley Clevens Hayes. This is the RX Buzz Podcast, a collaboration between RX Ashley and the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Welcome, Buzz listeners. This is Ashley from RX Ashley. Thanks for chiming in. Today, I have a very, very special guest with me, Beth Cady. Welcome to the RX Buzz. Beth is one of my best friends from residency from the University of Kentucky. We go back quite a while now. We've been through a lot together. And when I started this podcast last year, we just started talking about some of the topics that we wish we would have had back in the day when we were residents or when we were students, and mentorship really stood out to both of us. So Beth, welcome to the RX Buzz.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This is so fun. I think you're the first one of my like best friends to come on the show and to be interviewed and recorded. So I appreciate your time. Why don't you jump in and tell the audience a little bit about you before we get started?
Yeah, so my path to pharmacy school was quite non-traditional. I am from Southern Illinois, and I grew up kind of in a medical household. My dad is a family practice physician, and actually my brother, my older brother, now practices alongside my dad, and they both do family medicine. And I went to undergrad at the University of Iowa. Go Hawkeyes. And I thought that I wanted a career at that point in medicine, but I also discovered that I had a knack for like teaching my peers about our chemistry classes or the biology classes. And I really, really enjoyed those teaching moments. And I thought, man, I'd love to be a teacher. And then because I love sports, I was like, hey, if I was a teacher, I could coach volleyball or something. So ultimately, I ended up getting my undergrad degree in science education, and I moved back to Illinois, and I taught high school chemistry, and I coached volleyball. And I did that for 3 years. And ultimately, in the back of my mind, I always knew that I wanted something beyond teaching at a high school level. Like I wanted to teach, you know, higher level education and do something in the medical field. So kind of on a whim, but kind of not really, I up and quit my teaching job in Illinois, and I moved back to Iowa, where a lot of my friends from undergrad were, because they told me, Beth, you should quit your job and move back to Iowa because it's fun. And I said, okay, I will. But like I said, I had more of a plan than that. So I investigated a lot of different programs, including pharmacy, obviously. And to be honest with the listeners and with my students that I currently teach, I did not know a thing about pharmacists and what they did and what expansive roles we could have. All I knew in my head was, okay, I really like teaching and I like chemistry and I like the healthcare profession. So I feel like pharmacy might be a thing for me. And especially if I could work like in a hospital, you know, alongside people like my dad and my brother, then that would be like the best of both worlds. So I blindly emailed a professor at Drake University and shout out to Michelle Bottenberg, who actually had lunch with me. And I said, hey, I don't know you, you don't know me, but can we do lunch? I have an idea for a career that I want, and I think you can help me figure that out. We sat down and had lunch. I told her that
she
wanted
lunch with you.
She had lunch with me. Yes.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. She had no idea who I was. I said, I don't know anything about pharmacy. So immediately she was probably like, oh, what is this person doing applying to pharmacy school? And I said, I want to teach and I want to work in a hospital. How do I do that? And she probably laughed uncontrollably in her mind and said, well, yes, that's exactly what I do. I'm an internal medicine pharmacist and I teach at Drake. I said, great. How do I get there? And she said, we have to apply to pharmacy school. You're probably going to have to do a residency, maybe 2 years, and go from there. And that was it in my head. I was like, okay, done. I applied. Thank goodness I got in at Drake University in Des Moines, which I had a fabulous 4 years there. And then I knew that I had to do a residency because I was going to go into academia for sure. And I applied to a lot of really big name programs. So shout out to the listeners, especially the students who are going through, at the time of this recording, are going through those residency interviews and getting the rejections, getting the acceptances, getting the offers. I feel your pain. I applied to 9 really big name programs, some of which my own professors were like, Beth, really? One of them literally said, you're really going to apply to the University of Kentucky? That's a good program. What are your backups? And I was like, well, I don't know. So I feel your pain. I got plenty of rejections when I applied, but ultimately I was extremely fortunate enough to get an offer to interview at the University of Kentucky, and I never looked back. I had such a great experience. I did my 2 years. My second year was in infectious disease, and from there I thought, okay, I'm going to find an academic job, and fast forward, here I am at Southern Illinois University at Edwardsville School of Pharmacy, and I'm teaching ID. I work as an ID practitioner in a hospital. I do infectious disease consults, and I get to teach an elective here at school, and I'm doing exactly what I sought out to do. I would say like 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I would say 9 years ago, but really, I mean, it all kind of started probably my freshman year of college when I was like, hey, I kind of like teaching.
Right.
So
just, what a unique, amazing path that you've had. And also you forgot to say that I was the person who read.
I didn't want to say that.
You should. That's okay. I read your letter of intent.
Yeah.
I was a resident because I was just 1 year ahead of you. And I was like, we need to bring this girl in. You were a volleyball coach and you had such great writing and you wanted to teach. And I just knew right when I read your letter, you were going to be a great fit. So fast forward 5-6 years. I don't even remember how many years ago. And Beth and I always get into these loaded, deep conversations just about pharmacy and the pursuit of life and awesomeness. And one of the things that we both really bonded over was how strong of an impact our mentors have been to us over the past several decades of our career. And I just think it's so fascinating to me because your story in particular, the one that you just sought out like blind emails to a few faculty or to a few people, the one specifically being to Michelle, and she said yes. And look at where you are now. So we decided that we wanted to talk about specifically about mentorship and how important it is to not only have a mentor, but how to find a mentor. And I get that question all the time, probably weekly from students and from clients at all ages. So Beth, what do you think a mentor means to you in your career?
Such a loaded question. To me, I try not to get locked into like the formal definition of a mentor. I think that so many of, especially the students that I come in contact with, they ask me a lot of these same questions. How do I find a mentor? And I want to say to them, the fact that you're asking the question to me is already helping me to establish a relationship with you. And I think, you know, you don't need a formal definition of a quote unquote mentor just to establish a relationship with someone. For me, in case you can't already tell, and I say this to my students all the time, I'm a talker. I could talk to a wall. If anybody out there has ever taken the StrengthsFinder test, I am a woo. I admit it. I embrace it wholeheartedly. So for me, it's not the hardest thing in the world for me to just start talking to people, literally, right, as evidenced by my...
Well, actually, okay, so that's a great point. So and I kind of hate these two words, but I'm just going to say it, the extrovert and the introvert, because everyone's like, it's so easy for some extroverts to find a mentor because they're extroverts and they love talking to people. But on the complete flip side, how do you teach people who are, you know, not necessarily introverts, but just shy or not as chatty or someone who doesn't know how to approach people? What are some of your biggest tips?
Yeah, I see this a lot with students, and although they might not know it, but in the classroom, especially for students who may struggle, they don't know that they're looking for a mentor, but that's essentially what they're doing to try to get better. And a lot of the students that I see are those students who are very introverted, and they're a little scared to approach me, both from a learning standpoint, and I've had students come in that are like, hey, I kind of like ID. I don't know a lot about it, but I just wanted to like come in and talk to you about it. What they don't realize is that we are establishing a mentor-mentee relationship. So at the end of the day, if you are an introvert, yes, I see that all the time, but all it takes is that one small step. And even if it's not to your professor, if you're a little too nervous about that, I'm saying you can have any mentorship with anyone that you know and regularly talk to. If you're still a little afraid to reach out to the professor, just talk to your friends. Everybody has friends. Yeah. Talk to your friends about things that you would like to do in your career. Talk about your goals and aspirations. No, you might not exactly know, you know, when I started pharmacy school, I know exactly where I'm going to be. But just start talking about, oh, you know, I think it would be fun to do this. And if that friend is a supportive good friend, then they may take the opportunity to say, oh, you should totally go talk to XYZ.
Yeah,
and if that friend, which is like an informal mentor, even a peer of yours, if that friend convinces you to branch out and be like, okay, if they say it's okay, then maybe I can talk to this person that I feel like might be out of my league. And that's where it starts. Just start with friends, because that can be a mentor in itself.
I agree with you. And also, I think in today's day and age, with all the digital platforms, I mean, we are meeting digitally right now, you and I, Beth. And I feel like people need to really lean into utilizing that a little bit more for building connections. Because if you have one connection on a social media platform, I mean, you right there can be an influencer on someone. Mm-hmm. And so I think Beth's perspective is more academic and student, because that's what you're immersed in and that's what you live in. My perspective is I live on a digital platform where people at all ages, literally 15 to, I'm not kidding, 75, reach out to me asking me. I'm serious. I've had older, more seasoned people asking me, you know, how do I meet more people? How do I get out there? How do I talk to people? And it doesn't really matter the age. You first have to make an initiative, like Beth did with Michelle. You just cold called people or cold email.
Yeah.
And fortunately, someone like a champion of pharmacy, like Michelle, was able to meet Beth. But I think it's a two-way street. It's not really just about the person who's giving your time to. As a mentor, it's really about the mentee, how much time they're willing to invest in it as well. And from a mentee's perspective, if you get shut down by a few people, what do you think that can teach them?
Well, as evidenced when I was applying to residency, I went to another professor who I still admire and appreciate. He didn't necessarily shut me down, but he did. He was very realistic when he was like, oh, you're applying to these big name programs, and, you know, wasn't fluffing my feathers like I would have liked or whatever. But he was being realistic. I didn't necessarily, you know, I hold no grudges whatsoever, but I just take it as an opportunity of, I appreciate what he's trying to do for me. I didn't take it as a, oh, he doesn't like me, right, or he's got it out against me. It's just like when, you know, students, I always relate back to students. When students are applying for residencies, you're essentially applying to be like, I need to find a mentor for the next year or two. When those programs may reject you, it's not necessarily about you personally. It is about, what can the program do for me, or what can the mentor do for me in my relationship? And if they can't give me what I need, it's got to be, you know, symbiotic, right, if you will. And if it's not that, then I at least have to appreciate what this mentor is trying to do for me. And if they can't give it to me, then that's okay. Like you said, in this world of social media, there's always going to be someone else, right, out there whose ideals and thoughts and goals align with yours. And it's just a matter of making the connection to find that.
Yeah, I agree with you. And in your opinion and from your experience, what do you think about, because I posted about this on one of my platforms a couple weeks ago, about a change in the dynamic of mentor and mentee. I said that a lot of my current mentors, to be honest, and we touched on this earlier, aren't even in pharmacy. They're not even in my industry. They're actually younger and totally different industry. So I feel like I'm shaking it up, mixing it up with who the people that I'm, and they might not even know they're my mentor, to be honest. I don't even think they do. They probably don't. But people I look up to that aren't even in industry that I'm in. So what do you think about that? Do you think that they have to be a mentor, has to be, well, and again, outside of a friendship, in your industry, like, what do you think a mentor specifically looks like?
This is where I, again, think you cannot put a definition on a mentor. Like, you can't give, these are the characteristics of a mentor. Anybody out there, you can't put them in a box. Anybody out there who's going to support you and your goals, either just by listening to you, like letting you get your ideas out into the world, that can be a mentor, somebody who listens, to somebody who actually helps you to get where you need to go. I think age knows no boundaries. So yes, there are lots of people that can be younger, older. They could be in the profession. A lot of my mentors are not pharmacists. I will admit, a lot of them are generally teachers. One of them, I would say, is my own sister-in-law. She's an elementary school teacher, and she's one of my mentors, but she's also like one of my friends and obviously family. But we talk about goals all the time. She obviously has no idea what I do. She knows what I do as a pharmacist. I've explained it to her enough, but we don't necessarily share similar things outside of teaching, not even the same age of students. Right. But again, it's just somebody who's there and willing to listen to you. And she has put me in contact with other people that are also not pharmacists. Right. It's just about making that connection and letting your goals be known. You can't keep them inside your head. You gotta eventually vocalize them.
Yeah. And my friend Hillary Blackwood, because I posted on this a couple weeks ago, and my friend Hillary said, you know, a good mentor is someone that sees your blind spots, something that I might not identify as a strength or a weakness or something, but the other person does, and that can vocalize that back to you. I think that's what can, one of the major positive constituents of what makes a mentor. What do you think makes a strong mentor?
I agree with that statement of not only someone who will listen to you, listen to your goals, but also, like, that was really good. Point out your blind spots. I haven't thought about that before. There's one particular mentor that now is even coming to my mind, and I didn't define him as a mentor per se. He's a coworker of mine, and it just started out genuinely as a friendship, and I started talking about ideas of, oh, I have this research project that I want to work on, and but I admitted, oh, my research skills are a little lacking and I need help. And he's like, oh, I'll help you with that.
Oh, that's awesome. Because so, that's one of the things we bonded over in residence.
Yeah, yeah.
We both were like, God, research.
And here I am in academia where I kind of am too.
And I'm like, oh, I'm staff. So that means I don't have to do research. Okay, good.
Yeah. Bye. Yeah, right. So he has been working with me on a project, and our relationship, just because he points out a lot of my blind spots doesn't mean that, oh, I feel like he's pointing out my negative characteristics. That's not what a mentor does. He helps to guide me and say, hey, you're not going to be perfect at everything, but here's how I can help you get around that and succeed. And sometimes he'll even point me in the direction of, you should go talk to so-and-so.
Right.
Because they have a really good outlook on this. And also, a really good mentor is going to be somebody that you can also shoot the breeze with,
yeah,
and say, hey, let me connect with you outside of pharmacy, outside of all the grind of the daily work, but also let's catch up. Tell me about your wife and kids. Tell me about that last trip that you took. And it's somebody that you can really create a bond with. And now that's convenient for me because he works right across the hall from me, but you can also make that time with a mentor that you have who lives across the country.
So. Yeah, I agree. And especially, again, in the digital platform, sometimes the rate limiting step, I think, to a lot of people is they think that they're limiting because they don't have people like access, immediate access to people like you do across the hallway. But I think if you just have a little bit of courage and a little bit of humility along the way, and you just put yourself out there to say, here's who I am, let's make some connections, I think that's what takes the initial step to build that connection. Yep. I've been thinking about what I think a good mentor is, and how I am going to define what I think a good mentor is by looking at my mentors and tell them who's fostered me and who's supported me. Because I'll be really, really totally honest, as I am with this whole entire podcast, I am totally trenching new waters. I mean, no one's really doing the things that I'm doing in my industry. So for me to find a mentor is like an industry specific person who's a female, who is a professional, who is balancing five different passions, multi-passionate person who's continuously moving. There really probably isn't anyone like that. So I would be failing myself if I was looking for someone exactly like me. Right? There's no one like me. And that's, well, there might be, but I just don't know that person yet. So what I think really makes up of a good mentor is someone who fosters my strengths.
Yeah.
Someone who's like, yeah, Ashley, you're onto something good. Someone who puts me on the right path of building connections. And if they don't know themselves, they're like, oh, here, talk to this person. This person knows what's up. I think someone who is honest and who can deliver feedback that is a genuine, heartfelt feedback, even if I might be doing the worst thing possible, like even if there's a lot of things that I'm not good at. So like if this person approaches me saying like, listen, We know you tried your best at this, but maybe this isn't your jam. Maybe you shouldn't be doing something that you actually hate doing. And why are you going to do more of it if you don't enjoy doing it? And honestly, I think what makes a good mentor most on the personal side is someone that can, what you said, Beth, like, just talk to me like a normal person. Mm-hmm. Talk to me because I have a daughter, I have a husband, I have a huge personal life. Talk to me like my career isn't the only thing. Right?
Yep. And I think some of those really good conversations or those ideas come from, like, where did the RX Ashley idea come from? It probably wasn't because you were sitting around with a formal definition of a mentor.
You know.
You were probably talking with friends who, yes, yeah, qualify as mentors, and you were able to share, like, I have this wild idea. Nobody's doing it. I don't know if it's a thing, but it's somebody that fostered your
right. Well, one of my girlfriends. One of my girlfriends who told me, she's like, it's interesting. The longer path, you've always been creating new jobs. Like, what's that about? And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
But, yeah.
I could talk about this forever. I think this has been so much fun. And I think that to end this, I have one last question. So a lot of people leave jobs because of crappy bosses.
Mm-hmm.
They put their bosses and leaders on this pedestal of, you need to be my mentor. Like, you need to be fostering me. You need to be putting in the energy into me and developing me. And I just feel like that's kind of slightly setting yourself up for not success, not failure, but not as successful as you possibly can be, because you're putting in energy into this one person, or say this two people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people end up leaving their jobs because they don't think that they're getting that from their boss. So I want to encourage people that your boss, if it's not your bestie or if it's not the mentor that you want them to be, you don't have to necessarily leave your job if you like your job, but explore other opportunities, explore other people, explore, I don't know, like Beth said, her sister-in-law, her friend across the hall, Michelle, 10 years ago, who just gave her this one lunchtime. Where else do you think other people can find opportunities for mentorship, Beth? Like, from your experience.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be this lofty, oh my gosh, to go from zero to world-renowned mentor. That's such a huge step that you don't have to take a step that big. You can take baby steps. Like I said, talk to your friends, talk to your friends of friends. And from there, those little baby steps, that's how you can find, you know, these. Eventually you kind of fall into a mentor and you're like, how did I even meet this person?
Right.
But just my recommendation for listeners is start small. You don't have to think, oh my gosh, pie in the sky. How do I get that quote unquote definition of a stereotypical mentor? Start small. Talk to your friends, talk outside your profession, and just share your dreams, share your thoughts, share your goals, and have them help you. Like, just take baby steps. They'll put you in contact with someone else. Use the buddy system. The buddy system. Let it be
One last thing I have for you. What do you think makes a good mentee as a mentor? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. As myself, as a mentee, I don't necessarily go into these relationships with the expectation of, oh, this person's they have to pull me up. Like, it's their job to pull me up. It's from an ID perspective, it's definitely a synergistic sort of thing, or a symbiotic relationship, that I've got to put just as much in as the mentor does. I'm not necessarily expecting somebody to seek me out and say, hey, Beth, I've got all these opportunities for you here on a platter. You just pick whatever you want and I will help you navigate. I also have to bring a platter to the relationship. Like when I found out this guy that I'm working on this research project with, I didn't just go in and say, hey, I struggle with research. Help design a project for me.
Right.
I went in and, you know, I brought my 50% to the table and he brought his 50%. It has to be symbiotic. You can't go in with the expectation of, oh, if I just find somebody, then they'll pull me along and I can ride their coattails. It's not about riding a coattail. You've got to bring just as much into the relationship as the mentor
is. Yeah, and be accountable and be reliable too. I mean, there's nothing worse than setting up an experience with someone, taking time out of my day as like a mentor, and then they don't show up or they don't want to be there or they're on their phones or they're not prepared. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah.
I've had that happen. I'm not just pulling this stuff up. I mean, I've had students and people show up just really not interested in it and disengaged. And I'm like, okay, well, what is the goal here?
Yeah.
What's the goal?
Yep.
Keeping in mind that everyone's busy, keeping in mind that everyone has professional and personal lives, that when someone takes time out of their day to really spend time with you, spend time with that person and get to know them and ask them questions that you genuinely have from your heart, not that you feel obliged to ask.
Yeah.
Great conversation, Beth. You are the
bomb. I've had a great time. This is so much fun.
So when this podcast goes live in a couple weeks, I want everyone to say thank you, Beth, for your time and energy. Welcome to your very first podcast. You did awesome.
Yay.
I think that there's podcasting in your future.
Oh my gosh. Let's plan the next one. Part two. Although Ashley plus Beth in a regular podcast might get a little crazy fun. I'll think about it. Hey, thank you, mentor. You've just planted a seed in my brain.
There we go.
I'll call you. I'll have my people call your people.
Okay, please do. Thank you for your time, Beth. And you are fantastic. I love you so much.
Thank you so much. This has been fantastic. I love it.
Take care.
This was just the beginning. If this was your first time listening to the RX Buzz, we welcome you and thank you for giving us a chance. And if you're an old friend, one of our subscribers, we cherish you and look forward to hearing from you. And now we need your help. We ask that you share this podcast with just one person you know who's in the healthcare industry. If this podcast can help just one person, we believe it will have a chain reaction, having an impact on dozens, hundreds, thousands, and someday, millions of people. Thank you for your help. We truly appreciate you. And thank you for listening to the RX Buzz, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.